Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. All right. Well, I'd like to first, a little housekeeping. Thanks to Todd and Randy and everybody who helped out last weekend. A little unexpected absence. So I appreciate everybody stepping in, and somebody said, you know, are you going to watch online? And I said, no, I have full confidence that they're going to be all right. I don't need to check in on them. And the camera didn't work anyway. So I guess we all benefited. That's what happens when you don't plug it in, right? The batteries don't always work. So that's okay. That's okay. So John chapter 8, this interlude here that Jesus has with the Jews that he's fighting with, it starts way before verse 48. It's not just this little section where he gets things all riled up. It starts way back. He's having this discussion with these people, with these Jews, these Pharisees, who have been confronting him about who he claims to be. And over again, Jesus is showing himself to be God in the flesh. And he's saying it quite outrightly that he and the Father are the same. They're connected. They're together. They're as equal as they can be. And yet the Pharisees that are confronting him still are not getting it or refusing to. Maybe it is they're just refusing to get what it is he's saying. And so he comes right out today and he uses the great I am phrase again. This isn't the first time he's used it. Won't be the last time he uses it. And it is certainly not the first time that the Jews he's confronting have heard it. They accuse him. They accuse him of having a demon. They accuse him of being from Samaria. Oh, those people. You're one of those people, and you must even have a demon, so you are doubly those people. You are an awful creature and somebody who's claiming to be God. They can't understand. They can't get it. In the women's Bible study, we've started studying the Gospel of John, and at the very beginning of the Gospel of John, in what's called the prologue to the Gospel of John, he says that Jesus came to his own, but his own did not receive him. This is just an example. This is a display of Jesus coming to his own. Pharisees, Jews, of whom he is a part of that great, great people, and yet they will not receive him for who he is. They are going to fight him tooth and nail, all the way to the cross, denying that Jesus is who he says he is. And Jesus will not relent. This confrontation that he has with them today is just a little glimpse of the riot that's coming later, and one that would continue on throughout history all the way down to today, where people still will not see Jesus for who he is. It's a tough thing to confront those who refuse to see things the way that you see them, even in regular stuff. But when it comes to Christianity, when it comes to Jesus, it's even harder. Jesus is face to face with the people who ought to be able to see him for who he is. He's face to face with the people who are hearing the same scriptures that he heard and that he is, and yet they can't see him. They can't possibly receive him to be the Christ, to be the Savior, to be God in the flesh. It's just not possible. He must come from the other side. He must come from Satan, because they accuse him of that too, that he's part of Beelzebul's crowd, and he says, well, that doesn't make any sense because I'm casting out demons. That would defeat the purpose. So even logically speaking, they're not getting it. They're not seeing it, and they won't. They won't see it. They don't understand. and they don't want to. That's part of the challenge that we have as Christians, that Jesus had with the disciples and that he has with the Pharisees, and that the disciples would have later on, and missionaries throughout the centuries would always have this trouble with those who would refuse to believe that Jesus is who he says he is. They're simply not having it. Jesus says to them that I don't seek my own glory. He says that because the Pharisees seek their own glory. He's always taking their actions and turning them around so that they might see. They might get it. The Pharisees sought their own glory all the time, and Jesus says, it's not me. I'm not the one seeking it. If I were seeking my own glory, that's all I would have, and that would be it, and you could be done with me, and we'd be all finished here. But he says, I'm not the one seeking it. In fact, it's my Father. Ooh, my Father, he says. Well, some of them may have known his father, Joseph, and that's not what he's talking about. So that doesn't make sense. My Father, well, we claim Abraham as our father. Well, that's not going to help you. Because Abraham's dead. And he's still dead. David's dead, and he's still dead. They can't help you. And claiming them as your father doesn't help you. Your pedigree, your heritage, your lineage doesn't matter a lick. Well, my parents built this church. It doesn't matter. I hear you. It doesn't matter. We thank them for that. It doesn't matter. Well, my parents did this. My grandparents did that. Well, so what? Doesn't matter. Well, my grandmother was a believer, but I don't really worry about that. Well, it doesn't matter. You're not saved because your grandmother prayed for you. You're not saved because you decided one day that all of this stuff wasn't for you and you were just going to be a nice person. That doesn't matter. Some of the most faithful people I know, we're not really nice people. And I say that with all the love in my heart. It doesn't matter how nice you are. It really doesn't. In fact, Jesus goes as far as to say, if I were to say that I don't know the Father, I'd be a liar like you. Wow. He doesn't mince words, this Jesus. Calls the Pharisees liars to their face. What do you mean we're lying? Well, you don't know who God is. If you're going to claim Abraham as your father, and you're going to look at me and see some guy from Samaria with a demon, you are out of luck. See, the confrontation with Jesus is not an easy thing. It never has been, and it never will be. Mission work, to go out and proclaim the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, to go out and proclaim Jesus as Lord, to go out and speak his word, will indeed invite and elicit anger, frustration, confrontation, violence even. It always has. It always will. See, this world that we live in, we're pretty comfortable a lot of times. And we're surprised when people persecute. It takes us off guard. We get angry about it and we want to fight back. We want to say, hey, you can't do that. But, you know, it's the way that it is. The world will always persecute Jesus. Until he comes again and establishes his reign, they will always persecute Jesus. And in fact, they'll persecute those who speak for Jesus. It will happen. It does happen all the time. It's not new. We shouldn't be surprised. We shouldn't be taken aback when violence takes the lives of those we love, when violence acts out in terms of fighting against the church throughout the world. We shouldn't be surprised. Because here, even as Jesus is speaking to them, they pick up stones to throw at him. They're in the temple. They're in the temple, and they pick up rocks to throw at Jesus in the temple. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter where we are. Doesn't matter what kind of protection we think we have. The world will always act violently toward Jesus. But notice Jesus' reaction to them. He hid himself and went out of the temple. We oftentimes look at Jesus as being pretty passive. And I think that's probably pretty accurate. He does act violently a couple of times, but not often, and only when those who are supposed to be speaking in his Father's name are doing things they're not supposed to. Here, he simply lets them have their anger and walks away. He lets them be angry. He lets them hold the stones in their hands that they would use to kill him and just walks away. That's Jesus. He goes to the cross for those people who would throw the rocks at him. He takes the nails for those who would swing the hammer. That's Jesus. Before Abraham was, I am, he says. I am. I am in the Father. The Father is in me. And I, he says to his disciples on that night before he was betrayed, I am in you. This is Jesus. He is the one. He is the only one. He is the way, the truth, and the life, and he is all of those things for you, for your forgiveness, for your grace, for your mercy. He is all of those things for you. He stands up to the confrontation. He holds his ground during the riot. This is Jesus. And he is in you. Amen. And now may the peace that is ours in Christ guard our hearts and minds always in the one true faith to life everlasting. Amen.